Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
I'm Allison Keys. The Catholic faithful, migrants, presidents, and royalty say farewell to Pope Francis as more than 200,000 gathered in Rome and tens of thousands in his birthplace, Argentina.
Devastation. I just couldn't believe it was happening while we were here. As I get a little emotional.
CBS's Tina Cross.
The solemn funeral mass for Pope Francis drew hundreds of thousands of mourners to Vatican City.
In mezzo alla gente.
He was a pope among the people.
Francis's simple wooden coffin was placed in St. Peter Square for the service, close to Catholic leaders and dignitaries, including President Trump. The first reading delivered by journalist Kelsey Gussie from Florida.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality.
President Trump met with Ukraine President Zelensky in Rome as Mr. Trump tries to come up with a promised deal to end Russia's war on that nation.
I haven't briefed yet, but I hear a pretty good meeting.
More from CBS's Vicky Barker.
The pair were seen sitting casually in two chairs facing each other, having what seemed to be a cordial, if brief, encounter before the papal funeral. Afterwards, Zelensky called the meeting symbolic, possibly historic. President Trump, who one day ago was suggesting a Ukraine peace deal was near, now says he doubts Russian President Putin wants peace.
In Iran. A huge explosion at a port linked to missile fuel shipment kills at least 8 people and injures more than 700. This as the U.S. and Iran set up a fourth round of talks aimed at ending Tehran's nuclear program. One of the most prominent accusers in a high-profile sex trafficking case is dead. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Virginia Giuffre, according to her family, died by suicide Friday in Western Australia. She was 41. She was a prominent accuser of the late Jeffrey Epstein and accused Epstein's former girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, of grooming and abusing her when she was 17. Maxwell was later sentenced to 20 years in prison for helping Epstein sexually abuse underage girls. Asked by CBS News in 2020 if the buck stopped with Maxwell, Giuffre replied,
"No, the buck stops when every single monster gets held accountable and our children are safe."
Questions now over more Trump administration deportation cases, one involving the Cuban-born mother of a one-year-old removed even though she is breastfeeding the child. A federal judge is raising questions about a separate case of a two-year-old U.S. citizen being deported with her mother and older sister, saying it had been done improperly. The ACLU is calling the cases an abuse of power. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Experts say Milwaukee's lead pipe problems are an environmental justice issue. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
At least three Milwaukee schools have closed and about a handful of students were exposed to unsafe levels of lead. As city officials continue to investigate, they're forced to do so without federal support that usually assists in crises like these. Tony Wilkin-Gibbart with Midwest Environmental Advocates says Milwaukee was already facing a lead poisoning crisis.
Milwaukee has the highest rates of childhood lead poisoning of any community in the state. That problem is primarily driven by the fact that inner city Milwaukee has been historically subject to redlining, housing discrimination, and disinvestment.
Gibbart says inner city kids may be going from homes that have lead hazards to schools that have lead hazards. Poor families and children are disproportionately impacted. Lead paint was banned by the federal government in 1978, but the majority of buildings in Milwaukee were built before the ban. Wisconsin prohibits municipalities like Milwaukee from requiring rental inspections before occupancy, leading to poorly maintained units and potentially overlooked lead presence. Marty Kanarik, professor of epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says research now shows that no amount of lead is safe for children.
It slows their growth and development. It affects their learning and behavior. It even can affect their hearing and speech, lowers their IQ, decreases their ability to sit still, to pay attention. And unfortunately, these effects can be lifelong.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly to mostly cloudy today, we'll see a high near 48 degrees and a strong north wind at times. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. For Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 52. For Monday, 64 and breezy. Storms Monday night.
Right now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There it is. Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. That's what we do here. It's a Saturday, Johnny and Jacob, man. We are really ready to go. Glad to see both of you here on a Saturday. Hey, a little secret to everybody out there listening. We record this show. We know it's not really Saturday, but we want to make sure that everybody listening, though, knows that we're aware.
So, I mean, we really embrace that it's Saturday.
It makes us feel like it's Saturday before it's really Saturday. So anyway, welcome everybody listening out there on the Civic Media app. Anybody driving anywhere in Wisconsin, we know that you can get Busted Pencils, all the Civic Media shows across every one of those stations. Man, Civic Media just continues to cover the entire state of Wisconsin with more acquisitions of more radio stations. I mean, wow, think about it. Just putting it out there, making sure that everybody knows there is not a place right now, at least according to the coverage map, that you can. There's not any place right now in Wisconsin where the signal is unavailable. You can get Civic Media, Johnny, everywhere.
Well, Tim, if that's not local radio refreshed, I don't know what is. And that's not even a line they gave me to say. In addition to that, Tim, you know, people can always get the Civic Media app and you can listen from anywhere. And Tim, I bring that up because you had a long-standing joke that was actually true, but you carried it out dad style for a while, where it was our friends in Finland. Well, I met with our friends in Finland this week and they said, hey, we're still listening to Busted Pencils. We love that app because we can just tune in and check out what you guys are up to in Wisconsin. Well, so that joke still lives on, Tim, that even in Finland.
Is it a joke though? Come on. We know you're actually hearing from them. They are listening in Finland. We know that. My goodness, you know, because, hey, guess what? One of the things about Finland, they love doing public education right. And, you know, I got to say, there's a connection there between Busted Pencils and Finland. Maybe one day a live broadcast from Helsinki or something,
actually,
Johnny.
Actually, Tim, that's something we were talking about. So funny you should tease that a little bit. We'll have a little bit more to talk about, you know, with Jacob, chairman of the boards over there. We'll be talking with him about it and our friends at Civic Media. But, yeah, they want to set something up and maybe we might be heading over to Finland.
Nice, nice. I love it. Well, Johnny, we've got a great guest for our show. It's a return guest. You were, you know, not there for that show, but so this is your introduction to our great guest. We're going to welcome back to Busted Pencils, Brittany Walsh. We're thrilled to have her today. She's the Instructional Service and Educational Technology Director at CESA4. She's been at the forefront of integrating AI into rural Wisconsin classrooms. Fresh Johnny from the ASU plus GSV Summit, the premier gathering of educators, innovators, and tech leaders. She's here to share insights on how the summit's discussions and discoveries will influence her work right there in Wisconsin, from AI literacy to equitable access. We're going to get into how cutting-edge ideas from the summit can be translated into meaningful change for rural educators and students. Welcome back, Brittany Waltz. How are you, Brittany?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, you were such a great guest talking about AI. And again, wanting to really stay true to the Wisconsin coverage area of civic media and looking at that, I mean, you're doing great work, and we want to continue to feature that incredible work that goes on in Wisconsin schools, and in particular, the rural Wisconsin schools, because so often we don't spend nearly the time and effort talking about rural education and the things that are going on, and especially, Brittany, what you're doing with that work. Okay, ASU GSV Summit, Primer 101, what the heck is it?
Yeah. So it's the Global Silicon Valley. So what does GSV actually, right? Like we throw acronyms all the time in education, right? So GSV is the Global Silicon Valley, and ASU is obviously Arizona State University. They partner for a innovative kind of meeting of like the minds and all these tech gurus, education gurus, and higher education. So they really, they call it K to gray, just in terms of what their offerings are for. There's not only the show, which is a free version. It's kind of more like a space for more of the innovators, a lot of the startups. And then they offer the summit, which is a larger, kind of more like the high-end scale, to really showcase what AI is up and coming and how we need to approach AI in that K to gray space.
Johnny Lupinacci, how come you weren't invited?
I don't know, Tim. I mean, I must have missed. I'm bad at checking my mail. It's probably an invite in there. No, outside of our wheelhouses, Tim, but this is exactly why we're having this kind of conversation and why it's exciting to have Brittany on. Loved last time you were on, Brittany, got to listen to that, you know, that podcast, and listeners really liked it too, you know, in the mailbag, all the comments about, it's really great to hear these conversations around ed technology, around technology in Wisconsin schools, rural access stuff. And, you know, Tim and I have teased this, but we bicker quite a bit about AI, and I've come a long way. Tim was a little bit of a more early adopter than I was, but I've come a long way, and it still continues to be a really, you know, important and sometimes tense conversation for educators. So again, like, I love this conversation because what do we need to do? Talk about it. We need to figure out, okay, so how is it being used? What are the great ways that it helps education be even better for all of our students and teaching even better for all of our teachers? And I believe that has that potential there. You know, there's no single technology that like changes everything, but this is one of those technologies I feel like could really transform education in some amazing ways. I mean, every technology has the possibility of, you know, being misused, but by and large, the teachers I've worked with who are adopting this and are part of conversations like the wonderful conference that, you know, Brittany was at and the kind of work that we're going to dive into today. I mean, they're seeing amazing things happen, and I couldn't be more happy for the children in those classrooms. So Tim, that's what, I mean, again, outside of our wheelhouses, I mean, a couple of old guys here, but we teach teachers and they're talking about this all the time in our classes and we're learning with them. And so that's always an exciting thing too, when teachers are learning with other teachers together about how their students learn, we're all learning. So this is really important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So Brittany, so you were there, you were invited.
Yeah.
I'm like Johnny and Tim who weren't.
Come on.
No. I mean, tell us about your access, you know, the work, you know, why did Brittany Walsh get to attend such an awesome summit?
Yeah, I was very, I mean, like you too, I was like, what is this, you know, acronym based like summit ASU GVC? I was lucky enough. It was honored to be nominated as a AI K-12 innovator for this year, and lucky enough to be accepted. I did not nominate myself, you know, let's be real here. Let's say that. But no, I was lucky enough to get nominated by one of the leaders in some tech spaces, and just got to get out there, got to get in front of a lot of people. And that was really incredible to see. I think overall attendance was over 13,000. Wow. So just being able to have conversations and really listen to some of the people that are leading this work, I think was hugely impactful.
Yeah. And so you, just to refresh listeners who are return, you know, back from saying, well, I want to hear what Brittany's saying again. The connection, though, too, that you had is that you have done some work up there with the Comingo Khan Academy. And in fact, another person we had on the show, Jason Feig, from the Khan Academy. I mean, is that kind of your entry point maybe then for this?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I always tell my educators and principals and superintendents that I work with, it's not about the platform itself. So Khanmigo, you know, I used to say Khanmigo, like friend, right?
But right.
Khanmigo means together. So I loved what they were doing with Khan Academy. They were one of the first AI ed tech spaces or apps to incorporate that personalized tutoring, but that had safeguards in place that we really take at the heart of what and how we're, you know, putting out AI. I'm a firm believer in using the Student Data Privacy Consortium. Yeah. So really making sure these apps are protecting our students' data. They're not using it. They're not training models. And so Khan Academy was one of the first ed tech companies to incorporate that AI personal tutoring. Now you walk through the GSV summit and show, and it's like booth after booth after booth. And so that's really where we started. But like I tell everyone, it's not about the platform. Mm. It's about the power and how we're leveraging it to dig in deeper, to have conversations about truly innovating education, not just public, but private, charter, right? But my main focus is obviously rural public schools.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's why we want to talk, you know, a lot about this, is because it's one of those things. It's trendy, it's technology, it's and people, I think, have this assumption that, well, you know, if I live in a rural area and my school's, well, we're not doing that crazy, goofy stuff. But the reality is like, actually, Brittany, I would probably put you as not just a rural AI leader, that you're a leader in education with really bringing AI, yes, to a rural area, but the work you're doing is truly, as you got nominated, as an innovator in education. Our guest, yeah, it's Brittany Walsh. She coming to us from CESA 4 in Wisconsin, talking about that amazing conference, ASU, GSV. You know, it's where all the awesome, cool people hang out. When we get back, though, going to ask a little bit more specifically, Brittany, what were you there talking about? And then what should we be wondering about? And what are you excited about? It's Busted Pencils. More when we get back.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown, and This Week in Waukesha, we're acting locally, thinking globally with Nikki Shuro, Executive Director of the Waukesha County Historical Society and Museum. Nikki discusses the many opportunities we can participate in and celebrate Waukesha's rich history. It's going to be a great show.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of WAUK. Log on to WAUKradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha.
Ow!
Sweetie, come here. Don't worry. I see a lot of patients with the exact same thing.
Ever since the ice skating rink went in next door?
Or is it more than
Dr. Clark's business is heating up.
So many patients need my help. How will I find time to see all of them?
They need to hire a scheduler, stat.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. As Johnny likes to say to blue collar scholars, you know, doing the work. Jacob, chairman of the boards here, producer, joining us with return guest, Brittany Waltz, instructional services, educational technology director at CESA 4. Talking to Brittany, she was an AI innovator nomination and actually then awarded the opportunity to head to the ASU plus GSV Summit, which is a mega conference that is really putting together educators, innovators, AI technology, all of the things that are, you know, about or actually in a lot of places are already happening. In fact, Brittany, so in the nomination, I mean, you know, so what did you talk about when you were there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, why was I nominated, right? Like, no, it was just for some of the work that we're doing within some of our rural districts. So we started a pilot program that we are calling Liftoffs. And within that Liftoffs model, we're really looking at how can we leverage AI not to replace teachers? Because I think that is sometimes a rhetoric or a narrative, right? That we hear like AI is going to replace my job. And it really, like, I know that is a fear in some industries, but really how can we leverage AI to strengthen the work of the teacher? And in this case, really thinking about how can AI be used for personalized learning? So, you know, looking at different platforms, different curricular sources that integrate AI, and especially that tutoring piece, to remove the ceiling, remove the floor for kids, and just let them go. Let them have like the educational experience of, you know, I'm bad at fractions, so I need additional practice on fractions. Whereas the kid sitting next to me is already on to division or decimals. So I think like for the first time we have this technology and this capability that allows students to receive not only a personalized pathwayed approach to education, but then it also frees up that teacher to say, you know, now instead of lecturing at you for 60 minutes about fractions, now I can actually put you on a path of your own ability. And then I can spend time providing, you know, those reteachings for kids that may need it. I can push kids that may need more like application of math or whatever the content that you're looking at. So I think for the first time we have this powerful technology that can give teachers superpowers to do things like, you know, that I'm sure Tim, like in your ed classes, you're telling them UDL, project-based learning, inquiry, like questioning and hands-on, like teachers just don't necessarily have the time, the resources, the capability to actually see some of that through, especially with a lot of the demands that we put on them. Like, here's these 80 standards that you have to teach in third grade math, or you have to teach ELA for 3 hours now. Like, that's not getting kids excited about school and teachers either.
Boy, and that brings me to a question. I'm going to hold on that because, Jacob, I want to know, man, what, you know, new chairman of the boards right there, producer Jacob. Jacob, where are you at in this AI and AI learning and stuff? You know, because you've heard enough now. You've been with me and Johnny to know that there's, you know, a pseudo battle between Johnny acting as some form of a Luddite and me somehow being, you know, ridiculously taken in by the cult of AI. Where's Jacob at on this?
Well, I know that in this Cold War between you and Johnny, I've heard there's a bit more of a detente lately on yeah. AI. For me, I've used AI since it became publicly available, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, both for generating images, for getting ideas, for writing things down, putting things into the form of notes. I think AI can be a great tool when it's used properly. I think it can be a great tool, especially when it's in a subject that you know a thing or two about, so you can check it in case it's starting to hallucinate a bit. Bringing AI into the classroom, I think you need to be careful with those hallucinations, but I think we can identify, well, an AI is actually really good at this. An AI yeah. is really accurate with this type of answer and be targeted with the implementation of AI in classrooms. And just when I think about a classroom, let's say a lesson gets finished being taught, normally there's 10 kids who need clarification. If an AI can satisfactorily answer 5 of those 10 kids' questions, then that means the other 5 get a better experience one-on-one with a teacher getting their questions answered. So I see AI as a great tool for lessening the load on teachers, increasing the amount of attention that students get for their questions, whether the AI answers it really great or now the teacher has more time to answer it.
Brittany, I see you nodding in agreement there.
All of it, Jacob, like, especially when you talk about hallucinations, especially when you talk about, like, in, you know, AI is trained off human behavior and human data. There's still hallucinate. There's bias, you know, and there's misinformation. So I think now more than ever, and that was really evident in a lot of conversations at GSV ASU Summit, was that really at the forefront of all of this is the importance of AI literacy, and not just here's this AI tool, or, you know, like, so many kids are using Snapchat, like the little AI guy in their Snapchat account. But, like, how can we really ensure students have those skills surrounding AI literacy to use it in a way for meaning and for their own benefit? But I love everything you said. And that's what we're feeling in schools, is just simply by making some of these, like, first early adopter switches with using some of that AI as that platform or that teaching platform, our teachers are more rejuvenated, we have veteran teachers saying, I love coming to work. Like, I was on the verge of retirement. Like, we have teachers like, this is renewing my strength and making me smile. And that's exactly what we need and what we want. And same from the kids. Like, kids love, you know, feeling success and also receiving feedback. Like, kids crave feedback, you know, like, Tim, are you gonna grade my test? Are you going to grade my test?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you hear that, but, like, we have that capability to give that targeted instantaneous feedback for kids too.
Yeah. You think about that. It's just, again, and Jacob, yeah, feeling the way you laid that out there, nailing it. I mean, what a great example. You know, the end of the lesson, there are probably 10 kids who still have some questions. And that was the reality for any teacher teaching a lesson. And, you know, the sad reality of those 10 students was that the teacher then couldn't really get to all of their needs just because you can't, right? And great teachers do their best. But now AI, you know, has the potential to reach, and Jacob, it was great. 5 of those 10 can jump on with AI and get what it was that they're not understanding, what they're missing. And now all of a sudden the teacher can really do that individualized, deep instruction for those other students that need to, you know, to really have that interaction with the teacher. And Brittany, the way you were framing that too, and you talked a lot about that on the last time you were on the show, about the rejuvenation aspect that it does for teachers, because now they're not feeling overwhelmed and overloaded. They're feeling inspired and empowered by the ability to do the deep types of educational inquiries and support. Hey, it's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. We're going to have more with Brittany Walsh when we get back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. Grief and gratitude on display over the final farewell for Pope Francis from New York City to Argentina to Rome, where hundreds of thousands turned out to pay their last respects. Many are emotional and recall to support for migrants and the homeless.
The loss of Papa is a great loss. In him, I saw a holy man who loved the lowly.
President Trump and Ukraine President Zelensky met ahead of the pontiff's funeral in Rome, though Trump now has doubts about Russia's interest in ending its war on Ukraine. CBS's Seth Doan.
This is the first meeting between these two world leaders since that turbulent meeting in the Oval Office earlier this year.
A federal judge has questions about the deportation of a two-year-old U.S. citizen from Louisiana to Honduras. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The judge fears the girl was deported with her mother and older sister without due process.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers pick another receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where it's day three of the NFL draft wrapping up today. Last night, the Packers added two more players, an offensive lineman from NC State, Anthony Belton, 6'6", 336 pounds, and a 6'4" wide receiver from TCU, Savion Williams. I asked Williams why his college coach had him line up in the Wildcat, run options, and even threw a touchdown.
I played quarterback in high school. I played quarterback my whole life. So I think them moving me in the backfield, doing all that, I think that just came from that, just having the ball in my hand right now and just moving around and doing things like that.
Baseball. Brewers and the Cardinals playing again in St. Louis. Last night, the Crew losing 3-2. NBA playoffs. The Bucks with a win over the Pacers in Milwaukee, 117-101.
I think tonight it was like we came with the right mentality. You know, collectively, everybody was up and into the ball. We didn't just let things happen.
That's the Bucks' Dame. Damian Lillard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly to mostly cloudy today, we'll see a high near 48 degrees and a strong north wind at times. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 38. For Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 52. For Monday, 64 and breezy. Storms Monday night.
Right now, it's 55.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump launched a cryptocurrency meme coin with his likeness on January 17th, just before Inauguration Day. April 21st, with its value plummeting, the company offered top buyers of the coin a dinner with Trump and a personal tour of the White House. That likely violates the Emoluments Clause. The website for the meme coin loudly promotes a dinner with Trump at his Washington Golf Club for the top 220 owners of the coin, and for the top 25 owners, an exclusive reception and special VIP tour. But as of April 24th, any reference to touring the White House was scrubbed from the site. With the value having fallen from $74 to a low of $7.66 on April 17th, the price jumped after the announcement to $14.54 on April 23rd. But it's not the price of the coin that should worry Americans, but that corporations, special interests, or foreign governments could exploit the offer as an opportunity to channel money to the notoriously transactional Trump in exchange for access and favors. Jordan Leibowitz of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington told Mother Jones magazine, "This is about as unethical as you can get, essentially selling off access to the president," unquote. We have a pre-scrubbing graphic and more on the Emoluments Clause at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise
about the future? And what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that?
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I know you're out there dancing because that's what we do on Busted Pencils every Saturday. Jacob, thank you for that music. Hey, it's Dr. Tim Slugger. And yeah, it's Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Talking AI education. Talking rural Wisconsin AI education. In fact, innovator. One of your own there in Wisconsin, Brittany Walls from CESA 4. She was at that ASUGSV summit presenting what's going on in Wisconsin, particularly in the rural areas. Brittany, one of the themes though that it at the conference is this issue though of AI and equity. And I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about, you know, how you see this issue of AI equity, you know, specifically you, and then like, what are the issues dealing with equity in rural schools and AI? Just, you know, help me figure this out.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that word equity can mean so many different things, right? And so when we were, it was really evident just while we were out there, I think conversations not only higher education, like the universities who are, you know, having professors use it and encouraging students to use it. And then there are still those that are locking it down and saying academic integrity and misuse, right? So the word equity is really just that like new digital divide, like who has access to using AI and who doesn't and who's learning about it. I always tell educators, like, are we allowing students to learn about it and with AI? So like that tandem parallel for AI integration into schools. And I think that was evident, especially with the work we do with rural schools. We oftentimes joke, like they don't oftentimes get a lot of like the technology, or right, they don't get a lot of like the support. They might not even have a tech director to help implement this stuff. So, but we feel, especially my colleagues in our liftoffs work with CESA 4, is we really feel like the rural districts are prime for some of this innovation. There's less red tape, there's less committees and meetings, and we have to check this box before we check that box. It's more, you know, boots on the ground. Let's do this. Like, we know this is best practice. We know that this is helping kids. So I think the rural education is prime for some of this truly transformative education. And we saw that at GSV ASU. It was very clear and made very evident that for the first time, public education has competition. You know, we know a lot about school choice and ESAs, which are educational savings accounts that are popping up in schools or in states. So I think that was made very evident that for the first time, we have more choice in education. Rural education is the lifeblood of so many of our Wisconsin communities.
Right.
So that's really where we're primed and ready to take this over and to storm true innovation and structural change for schools.
Well, you know, and you pointed out, I think, you know, what people think rural, okay, you know, behind the times, right? You know, you guys are probably still using white chalk and blackboards, you know. maybe you guys have a landline, you know, telephone, you know, but, I know that's over the top. But the fact though, that you're actually saying, oh, like we have access to this, you know, where we're at in rural Wisconsin, I can also hear somebody saying, okay, and I heard you guys mention Conmigo, Khan Academy. Are you guys saying then that rural schools, the only way they can have access is by creating these kind of quasi commercial partnerships? And, you know, can you hear somebody out there saying, wait a minute, our schools shouldn't need to partner with multi-billion dollar, you know, hedge fund managers, tech companies? You know, wait a minute, this is bad news. I know what Brittany's talking about is great education, but darn it, those commercial interests are going to take over and do bad things to our kids. Brittany.
I mean, I can hear that. I can, okay. You can hear that rhetoric. I always tell everyone it is not about the platform. You know, we use Khan Academy, which has Khanmigo, like their AI tutor bot. We use eSpark, which has their own. I met with an ed tech company this morning about theirs. Like, we are really, truly not saying it's about the platform, because you can build your own platform. You can build your own AI tutor bots. Like, you can do all that stuff. Sometimes it's that capability. And like I think you mentioned before, Jacob, and I think Tim, you know, there's a lot of like training that goes into it, really making sure the teachers have AI literacy. So I don't necessarily think it's partnering with the big conglomerates or the hedge funds or whatever it is. But at the same token, to see all of these hedge funds and the Walton Foundation and, you know, just Google and OpenAI, which is ChatGPT, all presenting out at the GSV summit, it was very clear that they want a partner. And every time I said rural Wisconsin or rural education, they were like, boom, beeline to us. Like, they personally are the same way. Like, yep, we totally believe in this. Like, this is how we're truly going to transform education. And it starts sometimes in those small rural communities. And I think like there's a statistic that just popped up that says, you know, 65% of the jobs our elementary students will have don't exist.
Right.
So, and in Spotify, I don't know if you saw the CEO, he just released the memo saying no longer will they be hiring humans. And from here on out, humans have to like almost justify why they are like needed in this company versus an AI. So, you know, hearing
that's frightening.
I know, but like hearing from some of these tech conglomerates or these big hedge funds, sometimes they are at the forefront of this education, you know, these technologies. And I think partnering only makes the ability to figure out how to implement that much stronger.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Let's go back to that, the 65% of the kids in elementary school, the jobs that exist now won't be the jobs you were saying, right, for them. Did I get that right?
65% of the jobs that they will hold don't exist
any. Yeah, they won't. Okay. And you know, what does that mean? Well, you know, you could fight that and be upset that statistic is out there. You may even want to, you know, wrestle with it and even say, that's nonsense. It's never going to. Well, you know what? Okay. So maybe it's 50, maybe it's 40, whatever it is. The reality is that guess what? AI and jobs, it's happening. It's already happening. Brittany, your example right away to Spotify. And as I said, it's frightening that they're, quote, not going to hire humans. I can hear people out there going, see, I told you this is the end. And we need to be thinking about that and worried about that and having discussions about ethical AI for sure. But we can't put our heads in the sand, those of us in education, and act as if we shouldn't be providing students and communities and families the opportunities to become, you know, at least AI literate, because the reality is that it's going to be part of just having a job, you know. And in fact, you know, as I put this quote out there, I'm pretty sure it's from Scott Galloway from the Prof G podcast and Pivot. I really like him, but he made the point, you know, it's like AI is not going to take your job, although maybe Spotify is going to push on that. But somebody who knows how to use AI will take your job. Brittany.
Yeah, no, that's what we keep really pushing to. And I think the other thing that is so, I wouldn't say unique, but one of the things that we truly stress with this lift, with our liftoffs approach, again, it's not about the platform. It's about empowering the educators to think about what are those future ready skills? Because I mean, 15, 20 years ago, we heard 21st century learners and 21st centuries. We're a quarter of the way through. Like, stop using 21st century skills and start to really call out what are the future skills. And I think that was evident. I think I was blown away. One of the things I noticed, and I talked to my colleagues because I was able to bring two superintendents, my boss, and a coworker out with me to the summit and the show. And we were looking through all of the sessions, and one thing that really struck a chord was, yes, it was all about AI, but more than ever, it was about human-centric skills. And what are the future skills that kids are going to need to be able to chart their own future and path in a world that we don't know what it looks like? And so, like you said, AI literacy, which was a huge one. But a lot of what we were in discussions with was if we can use the AI platform to provide some of those, tier one, the drill kills, math, science, social studies, ELA kind of stuff, how can the teacher be freed up to bring in more collaboration, critical thinking, problem solving, goal setting with self-awareness? And so we really look at that as like, What are social emotional skills that kids need to navigate in the future workplace? And that's really at the heart of everything we're doing.
Yeah, I think about that, and maybe a little bit of a off of that side though is ethics, right? Ethical, like, when do we use AI, and when should we? Because we can, should we use AI in these situations, right? I mean, and I'm looking at this now back to the future of higher education is that, people are like, well, what's going to be the role of the humanities? And it's like, actually, if you think about this seriously, there is more need for those deep critical thinking, philosophical, ethical ways to get at answers to questions that is more important now than ever. And so, Brittany, last 3 minutes here before we have you, I see you nodding on that. Just give you an opportunity though, too. So what do you think you're going to bring back, or have you brought back to CESA 4 in rural Wisconsin? And, where do you think you might be going?
Yeah, I think that's a very, that's a big question.
I know.
It was like a whirlwind. I think we looked at each other, I was able to bring two superintendents from Whitehall and Oliva Strum, so two of my rural school districts. And I think we all looked at each other and we were like, whoa, like we are over, like this is a lot to take in. Mm-hmm. I really think it's just continuing our work forward, pushing it forward, really wrapping around AI literacy, even for our youngest learners. And then how can we really strengthen some of those future ready skills within our students and make a meaningful educational experience for kids? And I think that's the big one, right? If we can give our teachers the superpower of AI, how can our teachers now be poised more than ever to re-innovate education? Because there's nothing more that I hate hearing is that education is broken or education, like that rhetoric. I push back on that rhetoric and say it is just outdated and we need to re-innovate ourselves. And that's truly what I'm bringing back, is this renewed faith that we are on the right track and we're doing what we need, especially for the most critical communities that are really the lifeblood of our economy here in Wisconsin.
Wow. Think about that. Yeah. In the CESA 4 area, that's what's going on, man. Rural education, AI education, return guests, Brittany Walls. Brittany, man, I tell you what, we are just going to want to continue to check in with you. Talk about those superintendents too. Hey, if love to hear from them, man. You know, hear what's going on, like how they make sense of this. Hey, and if you're out there, particularly in the CISA 4 area, man, check out what they're doing. You know, give them some support. They love it. Brittany Wallace, thanks for busting pencils.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, guess what? Jacob and Tim are going to break it down when we get back.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. $20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think $96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, you hear that music, you're like, wait, they're already at the end? Yeah. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators. You know what we're doing. We're talking education. Great guest. CISA 4, Wisconsin's own Brittany Wallace, returning back, talking about the Global Silicon Valley Summit with Arizona State University. It's the big, most awesome conference where ed, tech, technology, all these people get together and kind of tell us what it was. Brittany was nominated as an innovator in education. She got that, and she was there and invited to be there and talking about the work they're doing in rural Wisconsin. So, Jacob, you got to listen to this conversation. You even kind of gave a sense of your AI, though. You're a younger dude.
I am, yes, Tim.
You know, I mean, if you were imagining, being a student, would you have liked to have had AI as something to engage in when you were in high school and middle school?
I would have loved, Tim. I would have absolutely loved to have an AI in middle school and high school, because I would have used it to cheat. That would have been amazing, because the amount of ways that you can use an AI to help know things that you do not actually know, I approve of that, and I would have done that absolutely.
So you just pointed out the issue of ethics and policy right in that statement right there. Because I'll go back to this. I said, Jacob, that is kind of like the big, if we just let AI in, they're just going to use it to cheat, and kids are going to get lazy, and those who don't know anything are now going to give the appearance that they know stuff. And maybe even more horrible is that they're going to believe that because they have AI, they know things they don't really know. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
I think that's a danger of it. Obviously, like you're saying, to quote Donald Rumsfeld, there's a lot of unknown unknowns involved with AI, and that could be a problem. But I think one of the things that was raised here is the issue of not just saying get rid of AI because kids are going to use it to cheat. And part of the reason I would not like that to be the stance that people take on it is because for me, I was in college when the pandemic happened, and I noticed a change in how college worked, which was that everything moved online. And from that moment forward, cheating was very easy, Tim.
Yeah.
You could look anything up. Hey, we're going to put a thing on your browser so we see what you're doing. Well, guess what? I own a mini computer, Tim, that I also have that isn't being monitored. So the issue of cheating at large or shortcuts or whatever you want to do it is so much more pervasive than an AI tool. That's just cutting off one particular piece of the education puzzle to try to deal with a larger problem. I think that we need to reorient how we do things, have a different approach to education with the knowledge that we can't teach kids like it's 1955 because they now have supercomputers in their pockets. So I don't know if math has changed. Did math change with the calculator, how we ended up teaching mathematics to kids? We don't use the abacus anymore for the fifth graders. So I think there needs to be a much larger structural reform and not just shut out new tools.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm all for bringing back the abacus because, you know, and Johnny has talked about that because, you know, he's a math teacher and the calculator, it's a tool. And I actually on the calculator one, we've kind of wrestled on that. And I see AI as a little bit different than a tool. But back to cheating, I was talking about with Brittany, higher education, and there's a great piece out in the Chronicle of Higher Education. Are you ready for the AI university? Author Scott Latham, and you know, just in case he's out there listening, we invited him, Jacob, I sent him an email inviting him to come on the show to talk about this, but I want to, you know, read from just a quote here. Higher education colleges have chiefly responded to the initial stirrings of this revolution by getting mired in a tired debate about academic ethics. Students cheated before the advent of AI, and they will continue to cheat for years to come. Even if a new app could detect and prevent all AI-enabled student work, it would be inconsequential to AI's inevitable spread throughout colleges and higher education. If your interest in AI doesn't extend beyond cheating, you're missing the bigger picture.
I would absolutely agree, Tim. That gets at right at what I was saying. I mean, cheating is pervasive now, and to throw away AI as a tool just focuses on one narrow aspect of it.
Yeah, you put that out there, and I think people are missing, and even missing, I think the argument about cheating actually is really, at this point, it's an old argument made by people who are just doing everything they possibly can to stall as if they're going to stop this. Hey, there's so much going on, AI in education. But Jacob, you know what now is?
Well, now. I don't know, Tim.
It's time for your moment of zen. And if we do act in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, it itself is a marvelous victory. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Busted Pencils on Saturday. Hey, make sure, though, you got to come around on Monday. Homeroom, it's out there. Wednesday, classes in session. Friday, hurdles and home runs and hurdles. You know, and then back again Saturday. We love it. Check out everything on Civic Media app. Make sure that you're out there downloading, listening to the shows, giving us reviews. We love it. And as Johnny points out, keep listening to Tim and Johnny, your blue-collar scholars, and keep busting pencils.
voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. At the Vatican in Rome, fond memories of Pope Francis on the day of his funeral.
He was a man of the people.
CBS's Chris Livesay.
A global show of respect for a man who had tried to reconnect the Catholic Church with the people. Also in attendance, the cardinals of the church. Among them, likely the next pope, for now unknown until he is chosen by private ballot in the conclave. But today was about Francis, held with pomp and ceremony in the splendor of the Basilica. The service was simplified by Francis before his death and referenced his service and humility.
Papa Francesco ha scelto di percorrere.
A prayer calling for peace between nations, echoing Pope Francis's constant